Good morning. Last week, we discussed the concept of a yachid mumcha. The preferred bezdin has three dayanim. However, if the party is accepted upon themselves, or in a case of a yachid mumcha, you could have a single dayan deal with a din Torah. Today, we do not have a yachid mumcha. But if it's kibbu alayu, if the parties voluntarily agree, they accept one dayan and agree to abide by his ruling, he could have a din Torah. Nevertheless, we said over from the Ktzos that al ti don yechidi. He said, under any circumstances, you should avoid doing that. You should insist on a bezdin of three. Most achroinim argue, and they say when it's kibbu alayu, when the parties voluntarily submit to a yachid, then it's okay. The Shach adds that the Yochid should warn the parties that he is not a mumcha. He does not know, he cannot guarantee the Psak will be Din Torah. But the Aruch HaShulchan says the Minhag is not to do that warning. It's self-understood. But be that as it may, certainly the preferred way of dealing with something is a Bezdin of Gimel. Now the Tumim has very nice, he learns this into the Pasuk in Parashas Yisrael, that when Yisrael came and he saw Moshe Rabbeinu, so his lashon was, "Ma hadavar hazeh asher ata oiseh la'am? What are you doing to Klal Yisrael? Madua ata yoshev levadecha v'chol ha'am nitzav alecha? Why are you sitting alone and everyone's coming to you to judge them?" Zok tumim that Yisrael's taina was this taina. It says, "Al tehi don yichidi. You should not be a yachid, no matter how big of a talmid chacham and how big of a mumcha he is, should not take on the responsibility of being a yochid, dealing with a case without two other dayanim." And that was Yisrael's taino to Moshe Rabbeinu. Why are you doing this? So what was Moshe's response? Vayomer Moshe l'chosnoi ki yovoi elai ha'om lidrosh elokim. They're coming to me. Just as we learned that by kibbu alayhu, if the parties voluntarily submit to a yochid, that's who they want to deal with a case, then according to everyone except for the Ktzos, that is mutar l'chadchila. So that was Moshe Rabbeinu's answer. Because they're coming, I'm not summoning them, I'm not forcing them to appear in front of me, therefore I do it even as a yachid. Then he continues that Moshe Rabbeinu added that ki yia lehem davar boi lai v'shvati ben reyehu voidati yaschukei halakim ves teresef. Now as we're going to see, we'll discuss this a bit later, that a bezdin typically has no obligation to explain the reasons for the psak. You come to a bezin, they say, chayiv or potter. Again, we'll discuss the parameters in a few moments. Zog the terzion, the tumim, that over here Moshe was saying that there still is some inyan of alti don yechidi, chveis, who is chayish for the sheets of the ktois. There still shouldn't be done. Zog the tumim, that Moshe Rabbeinu was saying, what's the problem? The problem is I'm not going to get the halacha right. I'm going to be madama milsel, and milsel will be wrong. So Moshe Rabbeinu was telling that what I do, even though I'll pidin, all I should be doing is saying chayiv or potter. I don't do that. What I do is vahidate eschukei halakim ves tarosav. When I paskin, I explain the psak for them, to them. I explain to them why I ruled like that. I explain to them what the halacha is. I explain to them the application. Once I do that, now already both parties know exactly what the ruling is based on. So now if there's a mistake, if I did anything incorrectly, they'll speak up. They'll be more of the problem. And therefore, in such a case, he says, where you explain the reasons and the parties know what the Pesach is based on, here there's Bechlal no inyan even l'kulayama, and that is why you could be Dan Yechidi. Now, just to add one other practical consideration, if you're trying to decide whether to go to a Yochid or to a regular Bezdin, when a person goes to a Din Torah, if he does not listen to the Pesach, Bezdin generally has two tools at their disposal. The first is, it can write a siruv, or a loitzai yisdin. Bezdin can put a person into cheirim for not abiding by the psak din. Alternatively, if that will not be effective, they have the right to give a heter akois. They could allow the plaintiff to pursue his claims in civil court, although there's an isser of arkois. In such a case where the person refuses to come to Bezdin, then there is a concept of heter arkois, and Bezdin can allow him to go to civil court. Both of these options are generally only available to a Bezdin of three. A yachid probably does not have the right to give a heter akois. Heter akois is a shail of isur veheter. It's a koyach that a bezdin has, not a yachid. And putting someone in cheirim also, typically a yachid will not put a person into cheirim even if he does not abide by the psak. So if you have a sichsuk with someone, if you're comfortable and confident that that person is erluch and whatever the psak din is, he will listen. So then you have both options. You know, we discussed some pros and cons. You have a decision to make. However, if there is any possibility that your counterparty will not voluntarily listen to the psak, he'll need to be forced. In that case, you certainly should go to a bezdin of three, because if you go to a yachid, if you go to a bezdin of one, you are not going to be able to enforce the psak. Now, what's done in some instances is that if you go to a yachid and you win, and the fellow doesn't listen, you can now go send a hazmana from a bezdin of three, but your claim is not the underlying issue. Your claim is, go be makayim, the psak that was handed down by the yachid. Now, you could do that, and it has been done in the past, but it's an extra level of complexity, and therefore, if you believe he will not listen, you may as well go directly to a bezdin of gimel. Because it's true, because if it's an isur v'heter v'shaila, you don't even need a yachid. You can make that decision on your own. However, the way Marshal explains it was a takana. Because people would be very quick to run to court saying that my counterpart is a loitzayis din, there's a takana that you need a formal heter from a bezdin, either a bezdin, or it's rather brought down, the gadol hadar, perhaps the zayin tovei ir, have that kayach as well. But a yachid, the fact that there's a kiblu olayu, that may mean that as far as the dinei mamadis, you've given him the authority to paskin, but to rise to this level of the gadol hadar or a bezin kavua, that you do not rise to. Now, bigger chiddush, some even say a zablo can't do it. Again, the minhag is not like that, but you do need a yachid, although he has the right to paskin when it's kiblu olayu, will not have the right to give this heter akois. Confirm and code. Correct. You know, although you cannot give a heter arkois, that's a good point to bring out. You need a heter arkois. Let's say you have a dintoyer with someone. You try to bring him to Bezdin, he refuses to come. Now, Bezdin at that point has no idea who's wrong and who's right. But because one person is a Masariv Lovig Ladin, he's simply not coming to Bezdin, we will give the plaintiff the right to pursue his claims in court. And that needs a heter arkois, and that's something that a yachid cannot do. So, for example, if the yachid starts the din Torah, and then after the first session, the fellow never shows up, and the plaintiff asks for a heter akois, he won't be able to provide that. However, if there's already a psak, so at this point, there's a psak din already. When there's the psak din of a yachid is binding, because there's an arbitration agreement, there's a shtar brun, there's a kabbalist kinyan, the psak itself is binding. Many, not all, but many paiskim say, once there already is a psak, and all you want to do is get it confirmed in court, you just want to use the court to collect the money that is clearly owed because there's a final psak, many poskim say you would not need heter akois. And based on that, if you do have a psak from the yachid and you want to get it confirmed, you'd be able to do so. However, if there was no final psak and you need a heter akois to continue the case, there a yachid will not be able to provide and you'll be in limbo. You'll have to go back to a bezdin of gimel. So this is just another consideration in choosing a yachid or a regular bezdin. Now, once we've moved past this question, once you've made the decision you want to go to a bezdin of gimel, so the next great issue that comes up is which bezdin do you go to? Now, this is something which, unfortunately, whenever there's a din Torah, what happens is one party sends a hazmana from one bezdin, the other party says, I don't want to go here, and there's a whole sichsuch back and forth. It can take a lot of time, a lot of agamas nefesh, to decide which bezdin you go to. Much of this back and forth is unnecessary. It's just a needless waste of time, effort, and money. So I'd like to go through the basic rules of what are the party's rights, how to choose a bezdin, and where the litigation ends up, al-pi halacha. Now, as we're going to see, there's a very big difference between the halacha, medina de gemara, and the minhag. And when I say minhag, I don't mean today's minhag. I mean the minhag as recorded by the Ramah, the Marik, and the Gedolei de Achroinim. The gemara begins with a question of what happens if you have two parties. there's a Tevea, there's a Nivta. And they live in a local, in a little village, and they have a dispute. So this village has a Beis Din, or it has Hedyotis that serve as a Beis Din. But one of the parties says, listen, this is a complex matter. I don't trust the local Dayan to deal with this. I would like to go to the Mokim Havad. I'd like to go to the big city where there's a big yeshiva, there's a center where there are many Talmidei Chachamim. The Dayanim there are more competent. And that is where I would like this litigation to take place. So the Gemara in Sanhedrin says, it depends who's doing the talking. What the Gemara says like this. The Gemara begins by saying, you have the right to say, I want to go to the Mokam Havad. I want to go to the place where there are better Dayanim. Correct, Gemara, this can't be. Because then whenever you're owed money and you try to collect it, what's going to happen? The debtor is going to say, oh, you want to bring me to the Taira? Let's go travel. Let's go to the Mokam Havad. And for a small loan, it's no longer cost effective. You're going to be mitzi mana amana. In order to collect the money that you're owed, you're going to have to spend the money in traveling and lost wages and going through this whole process of going through a din Torah in a faraway city. Therefore, the Gemara says that it depends who's doing the talking. If the debtor, if the defendant wants to say, I want to travel, we don't let him. Because we say, we can't have that. If the defendant always had this excuse, he would use it to dray out of the din Torah. However, Zakna Gemara, if the plaintiff, if the person, the Tevea is saying, I have this claim, this is a serious claim, and I want to go to a Beis Din that's more competent, I want to go to the Mokam Havad, there the Gemara says the plaintiff has the right to make that request. The Gemara explains, Eved Loiva Le'ishmalva. When you borrow money from someone, you are the Eved Loiva Le'ishmalva. You're considered a slave, you're indebted, you have an obligation to the lender, to the creditor, and therefore the creditor has the right to say, I would like to go to the Mokam Havad, I would like to have this litigation in a place where I'm more comfortable and the Dayanim are more competent. So this is the Gemara in Sanhedrin. The plaintiff can say, I want to go to the Mokam Havad, the defendant has no such right. Now the problem is, the second Gemara, which we had in the Maror Mekoymos last week, Gemara in Bavakama Daf Kuf Yud Beis, and the other Gemara said, "I will loy pilsu loy bedine." Before you start a case, matzi amrle ano lebez din hagadol azelma. The party can say, "I would like to go to the Beis Din Hagadol. Beis Din Hagadol is the greatest Beis Din that was around during that time." Most Rishonim learn this Gemara to mean that either party, either the plaintiff or the defendant, has the right to say, I don't want to litigate here. I would like to go to the Beis Din HaGadol. Let's go to the Sanhedrin. Let's go to Yerushalayim. Let's deal with the matter there. So we have a stira. The Gemara in Sanhedrin says that the malva, the plaintiff can say, I want to go to the Mokam Havad. The defendant has no such right. He has to deal with the matter locally. The Gemara in Bava Kamma seems to say that either party can say, I would like to go to the Beis Din HaGadol. So there's Machlokes Rishonim had to deal with this stira. The Rambam and the Mechaber say that the Iker is like the Gemara in Sanhedrin. They're matcha the Gemara in Bava Kamma. Either they argue on it, they say Shlok Hilchosa, or they're matcha, they're talking about the Tevea. And the Rambam paskins, the Tevea always has the upper hand. The plaintiff is the one that gets to choose. If he wants to deal with it locally, they deal with it locally. If he says, I'd like to escalate, I'd like to go to the Mokam Havad or to the Beis Din HaGadol, he has the right to do so. Other Rishonim, Taisus among them, say that no. There's a difference between the Mokam Havad and Beis Din HaGadol. The Mokam Havad was a better Beis Din. It's, you have Mumchim, you have a local Dayan, you have the Dayan in the bigger city that tended to be a little bit more competent, but it was, you know, in the same league, it was just a step up. There he says that only the Malva has the right to do, only the plaintiff. The defendant has no right to say, I want to go to the Mokam Havad. However, the Beis Din HaGadol, which was the Sanhedrin, this is the final word in Klal Yisrael, there already Taisus says that right we cannot take away from the defendant, even though we have this argument or this chashash of the creditor who's going to be forced to be moitzi mona almana. Still, that can only be used when the issue is Mokam Havad or local. But when the issue is Beis Din HaGadol, that's a right that cannot be taken away. If a defendant says, I would like to go to the Beis Din HaGadol, he has the right to do so. Correct. Adrab, it is a further distance. Because Tosfos, in the sugya of Bezen HaGadol in Bava Kamma, asks the opposite question. Well, until now we discussed that we want to protect the plaintiff. If the defendant could always weasel his way out and say, I'd like to travel, it's going to be very difficult to actually collect any funds, and it's going to put anyone who's owed money at a disadvantage. Tosfos in Bava Kamma brings up the exact opposite point. If the halacha is any plaintiff can schlep you across the world to the Bezen HaGadol, so then we have the opposite problem. Anyone who has a few dollars, someone one day will knock on his door and say, Yanko, you owe me $3 million. Now, I don't want to deal with the matter here. I don't trust local dayanim with such a big case. So we got to book a ticket to Eretz Yisrael. We're going to the Sanhedrin HaGadol. We're going to Yerushalayim. That's where we're going to deal with the case. Now, the nitzvah doesn't want to take off a week from work. He doesn't want to schlep to Eretz Yisrael. There's an expense. There's time. There's a hassle. So he's going to basically be forced to settle. And we'll have an easy way to extort people. Just say, make up a false claim, and say, I want to litigate the matter in the Bezen HaGadol. So, Zaktaisus, because of this kasha, or because of this chashash, some Rishayinim say that this halacha is only true if you actually bring edim, that there is a chayv here, there's a moed mikzas, there's some sort of raglayim adavar. Bezdin here first vets the case, see if it's legit, see if there really is a claim. If there is a legitimate claim, then we allow the plaintiff to bring it to Bezdin HaGadol. However, in the absence of that, if Bezdin doesn't have any proof, if it's just his word, the local Bezdin will say, you have no obligation to travel. Well, the Gemara in Sanhedrin brings up that point, that because of Shloit, it can't be Moitzi Mona Al Mona, that's why, at least in the context of a Beis Avad, a Makom Avad, the plaintiff has the right to say, I want to deal with it locally. Now, according to the Rambam, this is argument applies across the board, even by Bezen HaGadol. And therefore, the defendant cannot say, I want to go to Bezen HaGadol for this problem. However, the other Rishonim say that this Mona Al Mona, the Svara, can only knock out the taina of Makom Avad. Bezen HaGadol is such a basic right that I want the Sanhedrin HaGadol to deal with it. There, we have to allow the person to make that claim. We'll make sure it's legit. We'll make sure he has an argument before we let him travel. But he will have this right to say that I'd like to go to the Bezen HaGadol. Now, because this is an issue of how much expense or how much terechah you can be matriach someone, so you have some very interesting cases. What happens if the malva lives in a city where there's a makom havad, where there's a better bezdin? The borrower lives in a city with a weaker bezdin. So normally what happens if the creditor says, I'd like to go to the makom havad, and the plaintiff wants to deal with it locally? What's normally the halacha? We listen to the creditor. We say, if he's serious about it, eved lev lish malva, you have to follow the creditor. Zog the marik, that's only true when both of them live in the same town. If the creditor is so convinced about his claim, he's ready to travel to Makom Avad, Eved Leiva Ishmalva says he can force the Leiva to come with him. But that, he's willing to incur an expense to get the better than Taira, so he can force the other person to incur the same expense. Zagmar Rick, if the creditor lives in the place where the Makom Avad is, so we have no proof, he's not being Moister Nefesh for the better than Taira. That's where he lives, it's more convenient for him. So in that case, he cannot force the defendant to travel to his city to get to the better Bezdin. It's only when he demonstrates, he puts his money where his mouth is, he's ready to travel for the better Bezdin, he can drag the defendant with him. But if for him the better Bezdin is local, it's in his hometown, here he will not have this claim. Hu Hadin, the opposite case. If the Malva lives in a place where there's a Makom Avad, the better Bezdin, but he tells the Leiva, I want to deal with this locally where you are in the Bezdin in your city. So over here, the borrower, the defendant, can say, I want to go to the Makom Avad. Why? Because really, everyone has the right to say, I would like the better Bezdin. What's the problem? The problem is, you're going to force the creditor to be Maitzi Mana Al Mana. You're going to have a way to delay the Din Taira. It's a stalling tactic and making it more difficult to collect. That's only true when you're trying to force the creditor to go travel to the Makom Avad. However, in this case, where the creditor anyway lives there, Or if he happens to be traveling to that place anyway, here you're not forcing him to incur any extra expenses. Here it's not going to cost him anymore. He's going to be there regardless. And therefore, even the borrower has the right to say, even the defendant has the right to say, I'd like to go to the Makom Havad, since there are no extra expenses in that case. Okay, so that we'll see after. From this sugya, we see that if you go to a Din Torah and you lose, you're not responsible to pay the counterparty for the litigation expenses. Now, there are extreme cases, Yeshua Yisrael says, in the extreme case where the person was wrong, he knew he was wrong, and this is just pashen, an attempt at extortion, where it's bari hazeka, in extreme case, you may be able to recover, but... It's bari hazeka. The problem is that you have the right, if you have a dispute with someone, you have a right to a Din Torah. And if there are expenses that are incurred, that's just an expense of life. Well, it can be solved locally, but I'm not confident that it will be solved the correct way locally. That's not hezek. Saying that's not a hezek. Hezek it would be if I know I'm wrong and I force you to travel for no reason, that we can talk about garmi. But if I believe I'm right, and I believe the only way I will get what's due to me is by going to the top bez and going straight to the Sanhedrin Agadol, so then that's my right, and that's an expense that I caused you, but not midin mazek, not shaloi kedin. It was something I had the right to make you incur. It's only... That's true. If it's nisbar that he's lying, he just makes up a case. So there, the Yeshua Yisrael says there it's a mazik because he knew he was wrong. This is just an attempt to extort money shlo kedin. You're making the person incur expenses. Most dinei Torah are not like that. Most dinei Torah, both parties are convinced they're right. It's either a halacha shaylo, a nemanos shaylo, how to understand the contract. It's what the party's rights are. So although you lost, and al pi din, the dayanim will say it's clear that you're wrong, but if it wasn't with malicious intent, you had a legitimate taina, which is just a taina that didn't prevail, there, this sugya is the raya that you do not have, the other party does not have to pay your... People don't have to know, don't have to be bekiyim in halacha. People do not have to be bekiyim. It's what? He doesn't know. He believes he's right. If you make up a case, you say you borrowed money and it's not true, we have aid and we can establish it's simply not true, then we can talk, this is done maliciously. And it was done with the intent to damage, you can deal with garmi. But if you have a claim, just if you open up, there's a shah, mefurish, a shach against you, doesn't mean that you bringing the person to a Din Torah is a maisa mazik. It's a maisa of a Din Torah. Great. So the Yeshua Yisrael's chiddush is when he knows he's wrong and is just draining you a cup and making you incur expenses for no legitimate reason, he says there is a claim of garmi. Now, if he knows he owes you the money, he just can't afford to pay, and he wants to go to Bezdin to figure out, in this situation, can he pay his tuition? What are the priorities? How much does he have to pay? How much does he have to go through? That's legitimate Din Torah. He knows he's going to have to pay it at the end, but he has a real issue of how far does he have to push himself until he actually pays it off. But when there's nothing, he's got the money in the bank, he's just draining you a cup because he could, there already we have this chiddush that it might be garmi. That's if right now he owes you the money and he didn't ask to pay you now, then and the Din Torah is there's no point to the Din Torah that you would have this tiny of masa. So this is just briefly review when the question is which city to have a Din Torah in, the Gemara in Sanhedrin says the plaintiff has the upper hand. Eved loiva l'shmalva. Many Rishonim say it doesn't mean dafka eved loiva and malva. It means the plaintiff, the teveya, is the one that generally has the upper hand, and he can say I would like to go to the Makom Avad. When it comes to the Bezdin HaGadol, the Rambam holds that that's the same halacha. Other Rishayim say that no, the Bezdin HaGadol is something that either party has the right to insist on. However, Taisus explains that we have certain safeguards. We have to make sure there is a legitimate claim. We don't allow people to travel or to force the other party to travel unless we know that there is a legitimate basis to the claim. At that point, he can go to the Bezdin HaGadol.
I thought if the person like based in,
We'll get there. That's later on. So this is the basic halacha when there's a discussion of which city to go to. What happens in the more common case today when the issue is not which city to have the litigation? The issue is we both live in the same city and there are multiple Batei Din in this city. Or, as we explained last week, today we do not generally have a Bezdin Kavua. The Batei Din are basically any three Hedyotis together have the status of a Bezdin. So one person says, I'd like these three. The other person says, I'd like these three people to deal with the matter. So over here we have a Machlokes Rishonim. The Smag says a tremendous chiddush. This is brought down by Halach and Shulchan Aruch. That within the same city, he says, if the Teveya said, I'd like to go to this Rav, to this Bezdin, and the Nitzvah says, no, I'd like to go to a different Bezdin, even if the Nitzvah's Bezdin is inferior, the Teveya asked for a Bezdin of greater Talmidei Chachamim, still within the same city, the Smag says, the Teveya cannot force the Nitzvah to his choice. And the Nitzvah can say, I don't want to go to this Bezdin, I would like to go to another Bezdin. The whole issue of Eved Loiv Lishmalva has to do with traveling, with expenses. If you want to drag me to another city, there the Teveya has the upper hand, it's Yad HaYoyna, because of Eved Loiv Lishmalva. However, within the same city, if they're agreeing to go, and it's just a question of Bezdin A or Bezdin B, the Smag holds, the Nitzvah has the upper hand. He can say, I don't want your Bezdin, I want the other Bezdin. The Rav Yosef argues, the Rav Yosef says that the Nitzvah only has the upper hand when he wants to upgrade the Bezdin. You know, if the Teveya asks for a weaker Bezdin and the Nitzvah says, I want a better Bezdin, he has the right to do so. Although he cannot drag the Nitzvah to another city, but within the city limits, he has the right to say, I want the better Bezdin. But according to the Rav Yosef, if the Teveya asks for the better Bezdin and the Nitzvah wants the weaker Bezdin, he has no right to do that. He has no right to insist on that. Now, defining a city limits for these halachas, we do not go by the regular Tchum Shabbos. Here already the Tshuvas HaRashba says that any Bezdin within three parsois of the city would have the din of a local Bezdin. So in practical terms today, I think most, if you have an issue either in Muncie or in New York, I think most people will consider that one city. It doesn't take that long to travel from one to another, and therefore it'll all be considered one city. If you name a Bezdin either in New York or in Muncie, that would be acceptable. When if you want to start going to Baltimore, a place which is further out of town, there already that would have a din of a different city, and that would be subject to the halachos that we had earlier. What? So we'll get to that in a minute. So what we have right now are two separate halachas. If you want to drag someone out of town, so by Mokum Havad, the Teveya certainly has the upper hand. The Nitzvah cannot insist on a Mokum Havad. Bezdin HaGadol, Machloikis, whether either of them could insist or only the Teveya. Locally, if you're in town, it's a question of which Bezdin. So here already, the Smag, and this is what passed in the Shulchan Aruch, is the Nitzvah has the upper hand. He can say, I want to go to the other Bezdin, whether it's greater, better, superior, inferior to the choice of the Teveya. This is all Medina de Gemara. However, the Ramah Paskins, it's based on Marik and many other G'dayli Achroina, that today these concepts do not exist. Because, Shel Zofar, what's going to happen? You have a sichsuch with someone, and I don't mean to pick on anyone, but say you have a fight with Satmar Chassid. So, you have a sichsuch, what to do, which Bezdin to go to. So he's going to say, I'd like to go to Hisachtus, and there the Bezdin HaGadol. Now you are either Litvak or from another Kihila, and you say Bezdin HaGadol, what makes Hisachtus the Bezdin HaGadol? And you're going to have all sorts of fights, as you mentioned. Who's going to grade it? Who makes these decisions? What's the Bezdin HaGadol? What's the Makom Avad? Which Bezdin is inferior? Which is superior? We don't have any rankings today. We don't have any charts. We don't have any tables. We don't have anyone that can impose these decisions. And therefore, the G'dayli Achroinim all paskin that because this will cause chaos, everyone will say this is the Makom Avad. This is the Bezdin HaGadol. Therefore, none of these halachas apply today. And today, you can never force the Nitzvah to go to your particular Bezdin. You cannot force him to travel. Basically, we are mashve the halachas. We consider everything like a local Bezdin, where you have to deal with it locally in town. And if the nitzvah says, I want this bezdin, you cannot force him. Otherwise, you cannot force him to the bezdin of your choice. Now, interestingly, there are different reasons given for the gzeirah, for this halacha. Some say that, as I just explained, because we don't have rankings today. Marival has a little bit of a different spin. Marival says the reason why they change these halachas are because what happens if you have two people from two different kehilas? You have a skver chassid fighting with someone who's part of modern Orthodox, who considers himself part of the OU, that camp. Now, what would be if they have a sichsuch, and you force the fellow who lives in Manhattan to go to the Besdin in Skver? So if he loses the case, al pidin, he went to a Besdin, he has to listen to the psalm. However, there's a chashash that will say, listen, I went to this Besdin, it was from the other camp, these are not my rabbanim, this is not my Besdin, I'm not interested in listening. And he may not have the respect for the Besdin, and more than that, he may not care if some Besdin in Skver puts out a siruv against him. It doesn't bother him, no one will hear about it, and he won't listen to the psak. And the same thing is true in the opposite case. If you have a Yungaman in Skver that goes to the Besdin of America, he may walk out afterwards and say, listen, a bunch of Americans and this, I don't have to listen to it, these are not my rabbanim, this is not my camp, everyone's going to ignore the psak, and he may not listen. Zagma Rival, the reason why we cannot schlep people to another city is because we are better off dealing with the matter locally in that person's own kehilas bezdin. Because that way, when there's a psak, he'll respect it. That way, if there's a psak, it's easier for the bezdin to enforce it because he's local, they have jurisdiction. And that's why he says, Marival says, that's the reason why we always keep it in the bezdin, the nitzvah, because in case that there's bezdin passing tis chayiv, it'll be easier and it will be more likely that they'll be able to actually enforce the psak din. So according to Marival, the reason for this is simply a takonol to the taveya. He's better off not using his right to schlep the person to his bezdin. He's better off giving in and going to the nitzvah's bezdin, because that way, if he prevails, there's a better chance that he'll actually collect. He'll actually be able to get whatever's due to him. That's true, but because they saw this is the Eitz HaTayva, so instead of leaving the halacha that you can do what you want and then running into a problem of having all sorts of psakim that couldn't be enforced, the minhug changed that this is how it's done. And today this is the minhug. Ramah brings down today you cannot schlep people to another city, you can't say this is a bezdin agol, mokam avad, you do it locally, and therefore the nitzvah will have the upper hand because he cannot be forced to a particular bezdin. What? Oh, okay. So we'll get that in a minute. That may happen. To the extent that that's true, or that there is such a perception, someone's going to have that perception. What we're focusing is on the practical matter. If the plaintiff prevails, will he actually get his money or not? And bottom line is, if we have the dintoy where the plaintiff is, the plaintiff may be more comfortable. The pasak is not going to help him very much if he can't enforce it. Therefore, we say have the dintoy in the kehila of the nitzvah of the defendant, and that way, if he loses, he will be stuck. He will be forced to pay because he has more respect for the dayanim, and because he's part of that kehila, he has less ability to ignore the psak. What? Okay, we'll get to it. There's ablaz where that's where we're heading. That's where we're heading. So we have right now is, forget about the halachas that went through initially. You can never force someone out of town. You have a local din Torah, and the nitzvah basically chooses which bezdin it should be at. There are two important exceptions. The first is if a father and a son have a fight. So there, we do not go with the regular rules of Tevei or Nitzvah, because the son has a chiyuv of kibud av. The son always has to go to the father. The father is the one that will choose the bezdin. The second example is if you have a case where you have a din Torah with a... Actually, the lashon of the Ramah is if you have a din Torah with a person who is a gavra alma, or who's... You have a din Torah with someone who is a very powerful person in that particular city. So in that case, we have a separate problem. Here our problem is that if you have a local din Torah in this city, where the defendant is the person that runs the city, he's one of the Zayin Tei Ve'ir, he's one of the people who, he's in, again, the Lashon HaRa is Asher Muchzik Ve'ilim Be'irai. So in this case, the plaintiff is afraid he cannot get a fair shake. Because everyone in this fellow is the one that runs the town. He is the most powerful person. So the Dayanim, the Chashash is, Dayanim will be afraid to paskin against him. So in such a case, you have the right to say, I will not have a fair trial in this city. And you have the right to pull it to another Beis Din where this person does not have that kind of clout, it doesn't have that kind of connections, and you could have you can hope for a fair trial. Now, there's a machlokes how to read this Rambam. What the Rambam says is like this, that an asher muchzik v'ilim b'iroi, he is a wealthy person, and he is a gavra alma. So the question is whether there's a vav or not. Does this mean that if he's both a very wealthy person and he's known to be a gavra alma, he's someone who you don't mess with, and if you start up with him, you're in trouble. So in that case, the counterparty can say, I will not get a fair trial, I want to go elsewhere. Others say that no, it's two separate halachas. Either if he's an usher, if he's a very wealthy person, so then that itself is grounds to be afraid you will not get a fair trial. Then the Rambam is saying a second halacha. If he's a gavra alma, if he's known to be a bully, if he's well-connected, so even if he's not wealthy, that's another reason why you will not get a fair trial and another reason why you have the right to pull the case elsewhere. So the nafkamina is, when you have an usher, it's not just talking about a standard person who has a couple of dollars. If you have an extremely powerful person in town who is not a gavra alma, he's not a bully, he doesn't throw his weight around, he doesn't get into fights with people, the bottom line is he's the most chash of a person in town, and he's the person who people care about his opinion. Can you argue and say the dayanim will be afraid of him, and therefore I want to go elsewhere because I will not get a fair trial? Or is it no? It's only when he is known to be a bully, he's a gavra alma, he's a person who you mess with him, he gets even. Then you have this claim. But simply because he's powerful alone, there are many powerful people who do not abuse their power, and therefore you would not have the right to say I would like to go out of town. Now, this is a machlokes. There are many achrayim on both sides of the issue, but most achrayim seem to say that the fact that he is an usher itself is enough. If he is an extremely powerful person that people care about his opinion, even if he's not a gavra alma, many achrayim say you have the right to say, I don't want to keep it local. I would like to have a din Torah somewhere else. And the Aruch HaShulchan says, "Hakol ufir ois eni hadayin." It depends on the case. But if there is such a chashash, if there is a situation where one of the parties has enough connections and is powerful enough that there's a chashash, you will not get a fair trial locally, you have the right to say, I would like to move the case elsewhere in a place where he's not known, where he does not have this level of power. So now what we have here is, in a typical case, where neither of these two exceptions apply, the din Torah will take place locally. The Teveya has no right to insist on his Beis Din. The Nitzvah says, I want this other Beis Din. So what happens then? Does the Nitzvah, or does the Teveya have to agree to the Nitzvah's choice? So Al Pi Din, you can't force the Teveya to agree to the Nitzvah's choice. And Al Pi Din, if there's a stalemate, if Teveya says, I want Beis Din A, the Nitzvah says, I want Beis Din B, in that case, what they do is a concept known as a Zavla. Now, a Zavla Beis Din is a concept which is very thoroughly misunderstood. I'd like to spend some time to explain what it really means in Mikra Din and how it plays itself out in practical terms. What Zavla means, Zavla is actually an abbreviation. And what it stands for, the Gemara in Sanhedrin Chav Gimel says, Ze boyer loy echad, that's the Zabla, Ze boyer loy echad, Vize boyer loy echad. What happens is that if we can't agree on which Beis Din to use, each party chooses one dayan to sit on the panel. It's called a boyer. Each person chooses his boyer. Now have two dayanim, and then what happens? The two dayanim together, shneim boyer loy echad, the two dayanim then together choose a third dayan. He is the shalish. He is the impartial dayan, and that is the constitution of the Beis Din. You'll have three dayanim. One was chosen by each side, And then you have the shalish, the dayan who's actually responsible to run the case. He was chosen by the two sides together. Now the Gemara explains that a zabla, according to most Rishonim, is considered superior to a regular bezdin. And the Gemara says, Gemara's language over here is like this, that mitoich shezebar loy dayan echad, vezebar loy dayan echad, ushnei bar loy echad, yodzah hadin la mitoich. Because each party picks his dayan, the case will come out better. Now this needs an explanation. If I ask you, you have a choice. You can either you have a sichsuch. You can either go to a panel of three impartial dayanim that will paskin, or you can set up a panel where you're going to bribe one judge, your counterparty will bribe the other judge, and then the third judge will be impartial. Which case would have a would more likely have a more just outcome? L'chayr, when you have three impartial dayanim. Yet the Gemara over here is saying that it's better when each party chooses his boira. So what does this mean? What's happening? What does it mean when you choose a boira? What is the boira's responsibilities? Is he your boira? Is he your lawyer? Is he your tayin? What are the responsibilities and how does this play itself out? So, So Rashi over here says that what's the advantage of having a zabla? So it says yotzad in emes lamita. Did saisi balei dinim that when you have a zabla and there's a psak, the parties are going to obey the psak. Why? The savar achayev, the person that loses is going to think hari ani ba'atmi birati echad. I myself chose one of these dayanim. If there was anything he could have done in order to let me prevail, he would have done so. So he's going to be more accepting of the psak din. And dayanim themselves, and it's a bit of a shy, I had to read and understand these words, dayanim themselves will, because they were chosen by one side, they will be quicker to be mahapech b'schus for that side. Along comes the Rosh and says that mipnei sheyesh chasei rei das, there are people who have no seichel, and they read this Rashi, and what they see from Rashi is that if you're a boirer, you're supposed to do whatever it takes for your side. Lie, cheat, steal, do whatever it takes. Make up stories, make up tainas, dray him a cup. You're hired by him, you take care of him. And the other person has a thug on his side, and between the two of you, the two of you will counterbalance each other, and the shalosh will make the right decision. Zok the Rosh, the people who learn Rashi like this are chesere das. They don't know what they're talking about. So what Rashi means, if you read Rashi carefully, Rashi begins that why is it this better? Because the tzaisei balei dinim disover achayev harayini ba'atmi birarti. Zok the Rosh, what Rashi means is it's a question of perception. The psak din is going to be the same. A zabla, the bezin has to act and function the same way any other bezin does, three impartial dayanim. But what it means is when you have three impartial dayanim, so baldin can say, they like the other guy better, they weren't paying attention to my argument so well. By a zabla, because you chose one of the dayanim, the baldin that loses is going to say, listen, I had my guy on the panel. I had a person representing my interests. If I lost, it must be, I was taka wrong. So the way the Rosh understands it, by a zabla, it functions like a regular bezdin. Dayanim have to act like they're completely impartial. But it means in the perceptions of the Balei Dinim, because each chose their man, so therefore they'll be quicker to accept the Psak Din. And this is how the Rosh understands Rashi, that a Zabloa functions like a regular Bezdin. Others argue, the Ran and the Torah quotes Ramah, and they say that a Boyer is supposed to be Mahapech B'schus his party. He's supposed to, now, it's not very clearly defined what he could do and what he can't do. It is very clear he cannot lie. It is very clear that if at the end of the day he holds his side is wrong, he has to pass it against his side. What it's brought down is what he does have the right to do is he should be mahapeh b'schus. He should be paying special attention to his side. The way the Bach learns, Bach actually says that in the Din Torah, after the Din Torah is over, and they haven't discussed the case, he says, each boyer, his achrayas is to go through all of his side's arguments. And the other boyer is responsible to take care of his side's arguments. So although in the Shaka V'Talya, in the Psak Din, it will be the same, Since each person has a buyer that's in charge of his arguments, it's less likely for any taina to fall through the crack. Because you can have a complicated taina where there are, you know, 15, 20 arguments on each side. So a baldin may think afterwards that the dayanim, you know, argument number 16 sort of got lost. They forgot about it when they were discussing it. Because there were 15 on each side, that's 30 arguments, something got lost. When you do a zabla, so each person's buyer, his responsibility is to advocate his side's tainus. Since that's his job, he's going to make sure he gets all 15 of them straight. And therefore, the way the Bacha understands it, it's less likely for an argument simply to slip through the cracks and to get lost. The Nemuki Yosef adds that if a buyer sees that his side is wrong, or he said he can say, I need a little bit more time, think about it a little bit more, look for other Maror Mekaymus. But again, everyone agrees that a buyer does not have the right to tie into something which he knows is not true. He does not have the right to paskin incorrectly. It just means this, either according to Rashi or according to the Rosh, it's just a show for the Balei Dinim. Or according to the other Rishonim, you can be a mahapech, you have more of a responsibility to bring up his arguments, but at the end of the day, each of the dayanim has a responsibility to paskin kifi ha-emes, kifi what's actually right. Now, the Sma, and the truth is in the Rosh also, it's clear that this system was very often abused. Boirus very often became a situation where you basically hired a toyin, you hired a lawyer to play dayan and to be part of the panel, but they went ahead, they violated the halacha, they spoke to the parties, ex parte communication, they went ahead, they pushed their client's position, even if they were incorrect. And the Rosh and the Panim Irois and others rail against such behavior. That's not the intent of El Zabla, and it's Kneged Halacha. So in next week we'll discuss how it plays itself out today. But Alpi Halacha, certainly the Boyer's responsibility is to paskin the way Alpi HaEmes. He's supposed to follow all the halachas of a regular Dayan. When he doesn't, and that happens today, that's where we have problems, and that's what we'll deal with next week.